And now a message from the President of the United States, George W. Bush.
Good morning. With our great success and continuing victory in Iraq, it's important to use the proper terminologies for this war. Now here we got two or three different groups in Iraq fighting, and that's what they call sectarian violence. It's not civil war. Some, and I'm not going to name, it'd be inappropriate to, Matt Lauer and others are now calling this tough fight a civil war. And let me be clear, it's not a civil war. If you call it a civil war, then it'd be wrong to be in the middle of it. So I believe it's more like a civil scrape. And we are going to be victorious in the scrape in Iraq. Well, let's call it a squabble or a kerfuffle. Actually, I'm going to check dictionary.com and see if there's a better antonym, is what they call them. See, our brave fighting men and women deserve a term that, okay, here we go, tiff. I like that. It's a civil tiff is what it is. And we are going to achieve victory in this tiff. We have the finest tiff experts at the Pentagon working on the situation, and we're constantly adapting our tiff plans and tiff strategies to the situation on the ground. And we are winning. Thank you for listening. God bless you.
A public service of The Onion, brought to you by weeklyradioaddress.com.
Analogy that's ever been given about anything, by the way. And I think it was, people don't know this about Tom Baudet. Tom Baudet was a stand-up comic at one time. Maybe he still is, probably not. He just does the Motel 6 ads, I think. Does he? Does Tom Baudet still do Motel 6 ads, Tim Riley?
I haven't heard of Motel 6 ad in the longest time.
That's true. Me either.
Maybe they don't have to advertise.
I guess so. I guess they've been... That's one of those things where they've built up their marketing strategy so effectively that they were then able to fire everybody who was responsible for it.
Doesn't everyone look for Motel 6 first? Isn't that everyone's first choice? And if they're booked, you go up the ladder.
Of course, it depends on what you have in mind.
Inexpensive evening of lodging?
If you can sleep through the gunfire... If you can sleep through the gunfire and the sound as the duct tape and police wrapper being unspooled around your room. Anywho,
somebody grabbing the candy machine and shaking it against their waist.
Can I just tell you, I heard that is a universal sound. That's a sound that everybody knows.
See?
I'm trying to see something I can kick here. Well, I'll just kick this door. There's that urge again to speak like George W. Bush. It's a kerfuffle. This is a universal sound, by the way. And part of the universality of this sound, I think we've set a land speed record, by the way, for getting off point. Doesn't matter. I don't care. The universality of the sound that I'm about to demonstrate is part of it. It's not just the actual sound itself. It's the augmentation of the sound via the echo. Because this is always done in a large room around the corner from where you work. And it's this sound.
God damn it! Give me my... I just want the... Mountain Dew!
Rick, be careful.
We're leaving this room in a couple weeks anyway.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're not going to be here.
Hey, do you think... Will we be out of here maybe by mid-February?
No. Well, no, we should be gone before then.
Because my sister's going to be in town for a couple days.
Oh.
And I wanted to have her on the show.
Yes.
In that nice big new studio?
Yeah.
She's going to be proud. She's going to be so proud.
No, no, you will no longer be the outcast of your family. No, we're going to be in a real... we'll be in a real studio,
And the whole studio centers on you.
That's true. You are the apex. You're the
nucleus.
We all
have our own areas. Oh, it's too good to be true. Let's not talk about it.
We don't have to be near each other anymore. No more inadvertent touching.
Tim gets to run his own sound.
No touching!
Yes. Oh, that's right. I'm going to have... I was thinking about that on the trip in today. I'm going to expand upon what we're doing.
We'll be able to step on each other repeatedly throughout the news hour.
We'll all be firing
sounds at the same time. All of us attempting to fire the same news bites, canceling each other out. All kinds of dissonant noise piling on top of itself. It's going to be a glorious golden time. My point, though, is that everybody knows that sound. If you're in the office and you're the...
I already put in a dollar! Oh, Jesus...
And it's that guy, and the frosted grandma's animal zoo cracker things. And what is the deal with those? Have you
I can't believe I just said, what is the deal about
frosted
something?
Grandma's Animal Zoo Crackers?
you know what I'm talking about.
I don't.
I'm having one of those days. Hold on, I gotta start.
Maybe we should stop and focus. It's Monday. Let's get it together.
Thank you. I already started to splinter off inside my own head with other things I wanted to mention.
Well, everyone saw The Good Shepherd over the weekend.
Everybody did, and by everybody I mean you guys, and it was fantastic, was it not? Did I lie?
Yes.
It was very good.
Yep. You saw The Good Shepherd. I saw The Descent.
What did you think?
Not scariest movie ever, but darn creepy. I give you that. It was very creepy. Not the scariest movie ever, largely for two reasons. It was very similar to Aliens. The second Alien film, the James Cameron Aliens, very similar. Would not say bad. I mean, you know,
time when you see that thing?
Totally. No, that was freaky.
That scared me more.
No,
than
and the creatures themselves were really freaky. And when I say it was all like Aliens, not a knock. I'm just saying there were sections where I was sort of distracted by similarities. The musical score was very much the same. I will say this about The Descent: it's a much better version because there was those two films that came out at the same time, The Descent and The Cave. The Cave is terrible, by the way. This is a much better version of The Cave.
I think Lisa was telling me about that she saw it, and it turns out at the end it's just this huge shuffle and all these like random things happen.
The Cave is ass. The Cave is a lot of the Cave. I mean, I'll invert it. The Cave is a terrible version of the Descent. The Cave is a terrible Americanized Hollywood studio version of The Descent, and it's a whole bunch of people climbing into a cave. And it's a whole bunch of demonstrable personality types. It's very, very clearly defined. There's like there's the computer geek, and then there's the hot chick who's like inexplicably an expert in like anthrozoology or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then there's the big muscular black man who says a lot of things like, "You have to respect the cave." You know, which I don't even know what that means, but apparently it's something you're supposed to do. And then there's the old grizzled guy who was, you know, he's leading the group, and this is his last climb. And, you know, he's after this, I'm done with this crazy cave climbing. This is a young man's sport. It's not for me. And then, of course, his brain gets eaten by a pterodactyl. The Descent is a much better version of that. So I was distracted by the fact that it was so similar to The Cave and to Aliens, but not a bad film. And you saw the British version with the depressing ending, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
The American version of The Descent, and this is the reason I did not see it in the theater, the American version of The Descent cut off the whole depressing ending. I'm going to ruin it right now.
Yeah,
by
all
the
right.
Way. I'm ruining it right now.
Ruining the end of
you
The Descent.
You got like 5 seconds to turn the radio off. I'm ruining it right now.
It's a robot.
Yeah, the American version ends with her getting away in the truck.
Oh, really?
Well, because Americans are pussies.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want anything said! And so they, I think the studio...
No, this ending's a lot better.
I was looking it up on Wikipedia because I'm a nerd, and the studio executive was saying that he did not care for, quote, the repellent depression of the original version. So they gave it a happy version for America. So I saw The Descent, a fine film. You guys love The Good Shepherd?
Yes.
Yes. I was really confused at the beginning, but then it all kind of becomes clear.
Because it's a complex movie. It doesn't insult the audience's intelligence. They lay a bunch of stuff out, and then they slowly weave it together.
Mm-hmm.
And they let you sort of catch up.
You were dead on with the comparison to The Godfather, though.
Totally. It's exactly like The Godfather, with Matt Damon being Michael Corleone. Totally the corruption of an innocent, and how he sort of becomes morally dead to serve a larger purpose, and blah, 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 blah.
I did notice one glaring mistake, and that was fedoras were not worn by the time the 60s rolled around.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Not even by...
They were out by the Kennedy administration.
Not even by governmental white men?
Nope.
All right. Fair enough.
But we'll let it go.
Tim Ryan. We will allow it, though. The judges will allow it.
They were out of style.
For a larger purpose, though.
All right. The point I was going to make about Animal Zoo Grandma Frosted Crackers, you know what I'm talking about. It's like in the vending machine at probably where you work, there's the Grandma's Crackers or the cookies, the famous Amos cookie, and I'm saying right now that's your best cookie value right there. But then there are those animal crackers that are coated with pink and white frosting.
They're all the same animal, and you can't tell exactly what animal
it's
that is.
It's a bunch of weird three-mile island animals, isn't it? Like, it's right. Like something.
What kind of animals are they?
Could be a trunk, could be a foot.
Yeah. They all do look like elephants.
Mm-hmm.
And here's the thing about those. Those things are just like, God, what else are they? Like, they're kind of like circus peanuts, which nobody really likes, but they're
I love circus peanuts.
Yeah, but see, here's the thing about this. If you're
not in a big quantity.
But that's what I'm saying. But you can't tell when you're going to be sick of them.
But that's why the package only has like 8 of them. By the time you're done with the package, you don't want any more.
But did you ever get like a half pound of circus peanuts like on Halloween or something? Or like it would be at your grandmother's house and like it was the bottom of a drawer and you're like, circus peanuts. And you start eating the circus peanuts and you're like, one, two, three. And then by the time you get to 9, you're you know, and then you just can't, and then they're terrible. So it is with those frosted animal crackers. They're really, really good, and then at a certain point, bam, they become terrible. 10 minutes. Hello, it's the Rick Emerson radio program. We are live from the plushly appointed and not overly ostentatious studios of AM 970, Salad State Radio. Thank you for coming by. It's 503-733-2970. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com with your comments, your clarifications, your kvetches, your what have you. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Before we get to anything else, let me now welcome to the Rick Emerson radio program.
Help me. Like you did by the lake on the boo.
Hello?
Hello, don't do this.
Hello?
Can you hear him? I can't hear him.
That's your asses.
Aaron Geek in the city of Durant. Hello, sir. How are you?
It's one of those times.
Sarah, weren't you going to ask Aaron something?
Yes, I was told to ask you, Aaron.
No, you weren't.
Oh, I wasn't told.
You were just going to ask in means of casual, by way of casual conversation.
I've been asking this of lots of people since my car was spray painted. Did you have any automotive troubles perhaps this weekend?
There might have been something about the unpleasant ripping of the back end of a car.
Why don't you share something? Well, share it with the group, Aaron.
Well, I can't go into too many details yet because it's being investigated. But there was a backing of the car and then a hitting of the car, and there's a lot. The car still runs because it's fine German craftsmanship.
Is this a car?
There's a lot of hand signals needed to stop and turn. And
is this a car owned by you, Aaron Geek, in the city of Duran?
Well, it's not. In much the same way that you have a credit card because of your wife.
Bam!
I have a car because of mine.
Genius. That's that touche, sir. All right.
There's nothing better than calling and, hey, baby, what's up? Hey, where's the insurance card?
Oh, yes.
This car?
I know that phone call.
I can't find it.
Yeah.
Okay, what are you in for?
Nothing in particular.
I'm fine.
Yeah.
And the car still works. However.
Yeah, no, I know that feeling well. The last time I got into an auto accident it was right after we went off the air. It was after we got fired in 2005. And it was in April, I'll never forget, it was in April of 2005. And I think it was literally like 2 weeks after we'd gotten fired. And I was out in Beaverton going to the International House of Rock to the Bigger Than Jesus rehearsal. And man, bam, right into the back of a BMW. Those are good times. And the great thing about that is the three stages of the accident. The slam, and then you're like, what the hell was that? And then the sinking, the second stage, which is, oh, god damn, I've hit someone. And then the third stage, which is when you look up and you see that big BMW symbol, which looks like about the size of the moon. It's huge. It's all you can see. It fills your entire field of vision. And then you have to call home and,
baby,
I love you.
Yeah, you're the best thing that ever happened to me. I'm fine, by the way.
And then she immediately knows what happened, and you just, I hit a BMW. And then you got to pay like $900 to have the car towed, just so they can sit there and tell you that it's going to cost $45,000 or whatever just to fix this scratch on the BMW. So, fantastic. Well, it's been a great... In fact, just so you don't feel alone by the... Let's just...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
Hi, Scotty J.
Message.
Hello, sir.
Good morning.
How are you?
For real.
Hi, how's your day going?
Hey, Scotty.
It couldn't be better.
So,
And why do you always got to rope me into your little...
Because
you always include yourself,
Daddy. I was pointing out that apparently we have, in maximum overdrive style, we have passed through with the tail of a comet and the vehicles are rebelling against us. Would you like to share with the group how your morning has gone, Scotty?
It's pretty good, I guess, other than the fact that I locked my keys in the car again with everything in there, including the cell phone and all that. And then to top matters off with this particular car, not only did this happen at the event where it was the
LA Guns
show.
Did you?
Yes.
Don't remember that.
Well, that's kind of why. Remember you said I was kind of a little late the next morning?
I thought it was just because you had to pick it up because you left it in a... Because you had to cab home because you were plastered.
No, I locked the keys in there long before the thing ever started.
Yes, he locked the keys and then he decided to get plastered.
And then he's like, screw it.
So anyways, this weekend on Saturday, I'm shuffling the cars around so I can... I had a DJ gig, so...
How many cars do you have?
Well, we have two cars.
Okay.
And a truck.
Right. Okay.
A truck.
So you have three vehicles.
Yeah.
All right.
But there's a reason for that. But anyways, so I'm moving the cars around. I moved the car that I locked the keys in, and I'm sitting there and I'm listening to Lycus a little bit. It's on Saturday morning. And I run out of gas, so it was just like quite a car weekend.
Fantastic. So your car is currently locked up in a garage and you can't access it at all.
No.
How are you going to solve that?
Nor can anyone else.
Okay, how are you going to solve that?
Well, I think...
Is there an extra key? Have your wife bring a spare key then.
Yeah, I already called Mrs. J and she needs to take off of her work, go home, get the key, come all the way down.
Where does she work? What part of town?
Hillsboro.
Yeah.
Oh, Scotty.
You're pretty much your favorite person today, aren't you? Well done, Scotty.
I tried to do the same thing that you guys did.
Baby,
hey, I'm okay. Other than
nothing to worry about.
I don't have a cell phone. What do you mean?
Yeah.
Well,
everything we own is locked inside a car. All right. Well done, Scotty J. Thank you for sharing with the group and commiserating. See, we can all suffer together. See, you don't feel quite so bad. Just take maybe the tiniest bit of edge off your pain, Aaron Geek in the City, Duran.
No.
All right, well, what do you... Yeah, you know, but look, the thing is, his day is just beginning. I'm sure that it's going to get a lot worse.
Here's the best part is we just now got, like, the best premium on our insurance. The insurance is like, hey, congratulations, no accidents, all your tickets are gone. Hey, let me give you this bright, new, shiny, lowest premium possible.
Bam!
Oh, well.
Yeah, no, those days are gone, sir.
Yeah.
All right, fantastic. Well, let's see. What have we got today? We've got, let's see, what is the worst possible way to be castrated? We will answer that question.
Is there a good way?
Well, there are relatively good ways. Okay. We do not have any of those ways today. Today we have a way that is bad both subjectively and objectively. We have the glorious return of the top five. We have the glorious return of Peter Ames Carlin from the Oregonian. Let's see, we have the glorious return of news about Screech's penis. Let's see what else. We have Lisa Goddard and James Roop, James Tiberius Roop, we're going to call him today, who will be joining us today to talk about the word of the year or some crap. But, it's just so we can get him on so he can lech towards various celebrity women.
Oh, I know the word of the year.
Hmm.
I was going to use it in the Week in Geek, but no.
Oh, that's right. You didn't get the Week in Geek done either. Why? Oh, yeah. Because you are fantastic. And so that's pretty much what we've got today. We've got that. Oh, and we have a new single from Wing. We'll get to some Wing music today.
Dude, you've teased a lot. Good thing it started zero.
No, it's true. That's what I'm saying. That's the thing about doing the push-ups every Friday now is it makes it easier.
Did your arms hurt the next day?
A little bit. It makes it easier for me to be ambitious when Monday comes around. So, all right, there you go. And we'll check in with Mailman Chris at the end of today's program and see what the dealio is.
Indeed.
All right, there you go. Thank you. Thank you, Del Paxton. We'll talk to you, sir. Talk to you soon. There you go. Aaron Geek in the City, Duran. Fantastic. Hi, Sarah.
Hello.
We're joined today by Sarah X. Dillon. What?
I think I'm just going to say it.
Say what?
Why, last week was the best week ever for me.
Last week was the best week. Well, because, you can talk about this, and then later I'll tie it into something else. Because
okay.
I have just the tiniest thread with which I can tie your week in to my week again. So, why don't you bring people up to speed on why last week was the best week ever?
Okay, so I don't want to talk about it very much, but lost a couple grandparents within a couple weeks, and then last week, the boyfriend and I broke up.
Now, is this,
This is a good thing.
Well,
I don't want to talk about it.
In a Maritella-Moore manner.
See, yeah. I wasn't going to say
that.
She might
just make it after all.
See, Sarah Dillon turns our world on with a smile. I wasn't going to say that. See, I wasn't going to be like, and it's a good thing.
It's the best thing.
I was going to say this is,
For every door that closes, another opens.
See, I wasn't going to say that either.
A window opens.
I wasn't.
No, it's good. I had my first weekend as a single gal.
Really?
It was fun.
All I was going to say is, now this is, you've had a tempestuous relationship.
Yes.
Now, do you...
I do not foresee it.
Do you believe this is a temporary...
No, this is permanent.
This is the plug has been pulled.
The plug has been pulled.
All right, so there you go. This is a backhanded way and now a forehanded way of saying don't call up and hit on Sarah. It's too soon. This kerfuffle has only just begun. It's
the healing process.
But I realize, there's nowhere to go but up.
You say that.
Yeah. It's day one of the second week of January. I can take on the world.
You say that, and then it's a whole lot of, what's this lump? So, you don't want to, that's
okay.
What I'm, no, that's what I'm saying. You
right.
Don't speak.
I know, I'm just trying
don't
to
speak
be,
loud enough for God to hear you.
You know, I shouldn't say that because when I'm like, oh, it's just going to get great, like when I made fun of your car and then it came back with minus teeth.
Yes, yes, it did, Sarah.
Okay,
so there you go. So if you look at Sarah's MySpace profile and says single, that is not an invitation for you to call up and be a dick. Just so you know. Just in case there were any clarification needed about that.
Yeah, but I saw the Good Shepherd yesterday. That was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Did you see it while drunk?
No, I was not drunk.
Right.
But it really does make you want to smoke.
Oh, yeah. No, that but totally. Because it's like good night and good luck. You see it and you're just like, damn, the 60s were cool. That's the thing about smoking is it's just... It's a shame that smoking looks so badass. I mean, even now that I know that it kills you and it makes you impotent and so forth, I mean, it's just smoking just makes you in the right circumstance with the right people, with the right outfit. Smoking makes you look, and I know I just referred to clothing as an outfit, but I'm just saying smoking makes you look cool. There's just no way around that. All right. Tim Riley is working on the following stories for your edification on this fine Monday.
New Yorkers panic due to a mysterious odor. Mysterious bird deaths close down downtown Austin, Texas. A baby is abandoned in a Portland nursing home doorstep, and accusations abound it is not Dustin Diamond's manhood that's presented in this salacious video. And I got a wonderful package here from Pueblo, Colorado.
Fantastic. Right to catalog, Pueblo, Colorado, 81009. And incidentally, you know the thing about, I haven't even heard the story yet, but the thing about the baby being abandoned in the doorway of the nursing home?
Yes.
That right there is a movie starring Wilford Brimley just waiting to be made.
For Lifetime.
And it totally, and it's where they adopt the baby themselves and they refuse to give it up. And then it's like, the old people near death cannot take care of a child. And then there's like some sort of a sit-in that is staged. And then like a month, then the old people march with the baby demanding to keep it. And then the baby ends up growing up in the nursing home, being raised by a succession of old people throughout the years.
I like it.
As wave after wave of them die.
Like a puppy dog.
Maybe I need to work out some kinks in a screenplay. Now that as I say that out loud, that might not be the pick-me-up piece that Hollywood is always looking for. And then they walk to each other across the ocean. Let's see. Well, let's just get this out of the way. Hello, Jeff. You're on the Rick Emerson radio program.
I was just wondering if Sarah's looking forward to a new direction.
Thank you, sir. All right, and we're done. All right, that's the one. That's a freebie. We were going to grant one. Now it's done. It's over. It's too soon. Our finest TIFF experts. Let's talk to her. Oh, is this Kristen? Is this Kristen Bowie?
Yes, it is.
Kristen Bowie, who works here in the mornings and who's filled in for Sarah on a few different occasions. How are you, sister?
I'm doing fantastic. How are you, Rick?
I'm dandy. Wait, is something you'd like to share with the group?
Well, yeah. I just want you all to know, don't feel bad about your car because I drove mine off of a cliff.
Bam! And when you say drove it off a cliff, you're not speaking euphemistically.
Oh, no. I landed 30 feet down.
Oh, man.
Yeah, if you go out to the suburbs and have to pull over on the side of the road, there's no off the side of the road.
No.
It's a very
It's kind of down into the forest and the blackberry brambles and all that fun.
Yeah, now see, we can laugh about it now. and by we, I mean me. And by laugh, I mean because it wasn't my car. But you, and because you didn't die, because you could very easily have died.
Yeah, totally.
And so were you just now, because this had happened over Christmas, right?
It happened 4 days before Christmas, actually.
Yeah. So
right before she came into work and found out that the studio was not working.
Oh, that was the same day that the studio went belly up. That's right.
Yeah, it was a fantastic day.
Please come down the hall to the strange room. We're not sure what these buttons go to.
Seriously. So Sarah's car vandalized. Scotty's car he can't get into. My car stolen. Your car off a cliff. I mean,
I don't drive.
The only reason... See, but that's the thing. You don't touch that car. You keep it in the garage. The only reason nothing has happened to your car is because you don't drive.
Well, I did scratch the fender trying to get into the garage 2 weeks after we lost our jobs the last time.
How do you cope?
I was calling to offer Scotty my AAA card, which I can't use since I don't have a car. And he goes, hey, why don't you go on and talk about driving off of a cliff? I'm like, yeah, great.
Really? So, I mean, that's like... So, Sarah, myself, Scotty, you, and Aaron, that's five cars associated with this program in one like 3 week period.
Right,
we gotta be really careful. And again, so you try to start your car, it's gonna blow up. I'm swear to God.
It's not going to move.
If you, no, you try to open, you just try to open the ashtray to look for spare change, and you're going to lose a hand. You
better have no spare change.
Keep riding the max, Tim.
Yes. Step lightly. All right. Thank you, Kristen. I hope things come together for this. Kristen Bowie from AM 970. All right. Well, there you go. So, anywho. Well, here's some things we were going to get to in this opening segment here, according to my matrix. We did not did. And again, we're not going to dwell on Sarah's singleton, as Bridget Jones would say. But I do want to talk about your MySpace stalky guy.
Uh-huh.
So we'll get to that
who
later.
Who went crazy?
We'll talk.
I should not have done that.
No.
I knew it was going to go bad, but it was too amusing.
He was asking for it. He really was.
Uh-huh.
So we'll talk about that. And then, there's one observation. Now, you know that I got my truck back. It was stolen for the third time. And by the way, I don't think I'm even going to get rid of it now. I think I'm going to keep it and see if I can get it stolen a fourth time. I think I'm just going to see if I can run up, like, how high I can run up the tote board. You know what I mean? I mean, it's, you know, as long as they steal it and don't drive it too far, it's only like $150 to get it home.
Is there some kind of webcam you could put in there?
That's what I'm saying. I want to equip it with some sort of a camera and then like a low jack, and we can just go try, and I could probably get it sponsored. You know what I mean? You just get like some sort of a, you know, just get some sort of a computer company. One of our many fine advertisers.
Shot.
Yes. Totally get Lapes to sponsor it. And then and every time it gets stolen, I mean, really, because I thought that getting it stolen three times is ridiculous. But think about how absurd it would be if it was stolen four times. I mean, that really is an exponential growth of absurdity. So my truck got stolen. They finally found that it's missing the front seats. But you know what they didn't steal out of it? The cell phone that came out of that guy's toilet that we broke. Because I'd stored it in the back because I didn't want to keep it in the house. I was hoping they'd steal it and get, like, hepatitis C or something off of it. But that didn't happen. Not that the guy's girlfriend has hepatitis C. But you know what I'm saying? It's covered in poo. So, you know, who knows what's
in it. Did you never rinse that thing off?
Well, I gave it a cursory scrub, but I didn't have the chance. The truck got stolen. So the cell phone that we'd taken out of listener Ryan's toilet was in a box in the back of the truck. It's still there. They stole the seats, but not a cell phone that on first glance looks to be workable. So that's kind of, so these thieves are savvier than they used to be. Anyway, so there's that. Well, I got no time to talk about anything else. We can take a break. Lisa Goddard at noon. Tim Riley will be here with the AM 970 Noon News Hour later on. Jim Roop. Peter Carlin, you stay right there. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. Okay, hello. It's the Rick Emerson Radio Program. This email says, Rick, is it possible your truck was stolen by a deranged stalker listener who recognized the phone and left it alone? You know, the kind of listener who's so obsessed with you, Rick Emerson, that they would steal your truck just to spend all weekend rubbing their naked form all over the interior, just to feel as if they were closer to you, leaving a part of themselves behind, knowing that you, Rick Emerson, would soon be touching the same leather, the same steering wheel, the same upright shifter that they had spent so many hours being close to. Just a thought, Tony in the Coop. Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you for sharing. It's 503-733-2970. You can also email if it's your pleasure. It's rick@rickemerson.com. rick@rickemerson.com. And this sound can mean only one thing, ladies and gentlemen. Let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, CNN radio correspondent, fashionably attired with a handful of dangerous knowledge, Lisa Goddard. Hello.
Hi.
How are you, sister? What's up with you on this glorious Monday?
I can't say too much running around, some here, some there. How about you?
I don't understand. I didn't understand anything you just said. That was just
That was me being like, I really don't want to talk about myself. How about you? That's what was going on.
Oh.
Sorry, I don't know. I'm just crabbing in a fight with the network right now over news judgment.
Really?
That's the way it goes.
Now, in no way, of course, would I poke and prod you to tell me any sort of sordid insider gossip
but it's
about...
it's so nice of you, Rick.
Because Rick Emerson, you know why? Because I'm not that guy. Other people, other less principled radio hosts would do that. But Rick Emerson, you know, there's that guy over there, and then over here is me, because I am not that guy. That's okay. You know, it's and I really won't lean on anybody, but I will just say this, that it's been one of those weeks, not just for you, but and I don't know if it means in terms of the network, but we were just talking about a little bit about Sarah's life, and then and I've had kind of a wacky
week
as well. So it's we've decided that there is some sort of negative karma accrued that you know that the universe is just getting rid of all in one fell swoop. You know what I mean?
Yes.
It's sort of like a last day, It's like a we lost our karmic lease, everything must go sale, and so they're just getting rid of it all in like a 2-week period. So, all right. Well, what I will say is this. This, by the way, is probably the wrong time to bring up the fact that CNN has, I think now on at least two occasions, referred to Barack Obama as Osama, or quite possibly vice versa. I was watching CNN, I don't know, about a week ago, and there was, I swear to God, what was probably supposed to be a Where's Osama headline, and instead it said Where's Obama, and I'm pretty sure that that's like a 9-step process to get to get that on the screen. I realize, of course, you, Lisa Goddard, had nothing to do with that, but it is worth observing. I will now quickly move on so as not to have a pregnant pause during which you must feel compelled to either defend or pile on the network that employs
what?
You.
Shit.
Thank you. Is it going to be, is it Wednesday now that we're talking about George W. Bush's, what everybody now is calling the surge plan?
Wednesday, I think 9:01:30 is probably, I know it's around 9 p.m. Usually it's a minute and a half after the top of the hour.
And so is this, we've been hearing all this, whatever, it is softening up the ground, as they always say, where they sort of leak out some details ahead of time as like a test balloon to see how the people are going to respond.
Maylocks, as it were.
And yes, and everything that they've leaked out so far has said that somewhere between 20 and 40,000 troops sent over to Iraq to augment and buttress the troops that are already over there. Now, is this going to be some sort of Muhammad Ali rope-a-dope thing where at the last minute he goes a different way on us, or is it just going to be this anticlimactic and unsurprising, if somewhat revolting, that that is the plan?
I would be really surprised if he takes a dramatic turn, unless there's something that hasn't happened yet that we don't know about. You know, I don't know, the twins are held hostage by Harry Reid, something like that. You know, I would be surprised that he's not, once this president makes a decision, he really has stuck with it regardless. And I think that we'll see this here, but obviously at least the White House and possibly this president realize what a tricky decision this is, because they have, over the last week, really hem and hawed, maybe we're thinking about, we're leaning toward, you know, and in the next 2 days, the president has invited even more, especially Democrats, from Congress to come in, and he's going to brief them, been briefing them on the plan and getting their response. And so that is a sign that he is really operating differently than he has previously. In fact, Republicans, when they were in charge, really didn't get those kinds of consultations or at least that kind of debriefing from the president. But now the president obviously realizes he's got to try to work or at least go through the motions. We'll see which it is with Democrats. So I really think that he has decided, and I think I'd be surprised if it is not some kind of surge. But it may be under 20,000. It may be 15,000. You know, we don't know. I think that is what he may still be oscillating on that number.
I don't want to sound conspiratorial, but I mean, he's in the waning days of his presidency, certainly according to the timetable, if not according to actual policy, but it's probably both. And they've got to start putting an eye towards 2008. Obviously, Jeb Bush, as I think he said, probably meaning to be off mic, but as he inadvertently said on mic to somebody a couple weeks ago, Jeb Bush says, I have no political future. And so there is this question of who's going to, you know, who is the GOP going to put up in 2008? And I guess my question is, at some point, I mean, there's no one on earth who's going to think this is a good idea. And when I mean no one on earth, I'm not speaking euphemistically or in some sort of figurative, hyperbolic sense. There really, honestly, with the possible exception of George W. Bush himself, is no one on earth who's going to think that this is a shrewd and swell plan. And so don't you think at some point there is going to be some coalition, some group of people in the GOP that are just going to have to sit down in a room and say, like this can't happen, because this is going to seal it for the Republicans fate-wise in 2008 if this happens, it seems.
There are some Republicans, you're right, who have openly said, we don't think the surge is a good idea. We think that's going to make things worse. We're going to put more people in harm's way. But there are many other Republicans coming out today on the Hill saying, actually, what we need is more troops than the president's proposing. If we're going to do it, let's do it. Let's not just send in a couple thousand to sort of make it look like we're bolstering. Let's really send in enough people to make the difference and essentially kind of lock down at least Baghdad and try and root out the bad guys, essentially. So there are, I think, I don't hear a lot of people, you're right, saying this in-between surge is perfect. I don't think the president just made this up, although you may think that, Rick. I know where you might be going on that, but I don't. I think that he
I think this came somewhere from the military. We don't know where. And I think the military itself is conflicted about what should happen. But like I said, some of the troops say we do need more people. The question is this sort of middle ground, this 15, 30,000 number, is that really going to do it? You know, you've got folks in the Senate here saying, no, if you're going to do it, really go full bore, really send in a lot of troops. But others say, where are those troops? Where is the equipment for them? Do we have it? Seems like we're pretty stretched thin right now.
All right, then on that note, I'll simply say this, that if you need somebody worked over, the Rick Emerson Show, we're people who knows people. And if there's somebody you need handled, you just say the word. I can probably have somebody spoken to or perhaps punched repeatedly in the face and groin. You just let me know.
Standing.
All right. Lisa Goddard on the Hill. I will return you to your day, glorious as it may be, and we will speak to you in the future.
Fabulous. And back at
you. Thank you, Lisa. All right. There you go. Lisa Goddard right there.
Ooh, I wonder what the drama is.
Jesus, boy. She was, I'm not unhappy at us, but clearly unhappy at somebody.
Yeah.
And you'll know.
And you were thinking it was personal at first.
No, well, I mean, it sounded like she may have just having a bad day, mm-hmm. You know, whatever. The hairdryer falls in the bathtub or whatever. Who knows? I thought something goes wrong at home or, fight with the boyfriend or whatever, because that's because because of the way that we are sort of conditioned to talk to the CNN people, that they're always inadvertently revealing things or advertently revealing things that they're not supposed to, usually of a personal or relationship nature. And so I just assumed that's what it was. And then I'm like, so what's the bee in your bonnet today? And she's like, I'm having a fight with the network about news judgment, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So don't, we can't forget about this because at some point in the future, we got to figure out what that was all about. We got to get the word from her on exactly how that's what she's referring to there.
You know what? Our best friend at CNN, this just occurred to me. For the past like 3 or 4 weeks, Laura Kvyatsol hasn't been there.
Nah,
is her name still on there?
I don't know. Well, let me see. I only have the. I only have the second page.
Okay.
Now, see, I have the contact at CNN Radio. It says Tyler, but I don't have the other pages with me.
Hmm.
I don't know because look, I'm sure that Laura's a fine professional and everybody adores her. I'm just saying, it does seem like she's a bit of a perfectionist. And it does seem like perhaps if, God forbid, she were to no longer be there, I don't really know that that would contribute to... wait, let me see here. Contacts at CNN Radio News Source. Monday through Friday, 4 to 10, Tyler. Monday through Friday, 10 to 2, Richard. No Laura mentioned.
Really?
Well, but now is she mentioned even on the day she's not working?
Is. She's always on there because
really?
She puts together the prep sheet.
I wonder if she's gone.
Oh.
Oh, listen to you. Oh.
No, that was just for you. I know she has an impending wedding and
all right,
whatnot.
We got to touch a Roop then.
Okay.
Yeah, because Roop will totally know.
Yeah,
he'll tell us
know.
Too. Yeah. All right. Well, in any event. So we're going to put a pin in that. I will not further dwell on whatever job difficulties Lisa Goddard may or may not be having with the network. So that's, the thing is, and despite the fact that we've sort of browbeaten and manipulated and brainwashed her into partaking in all of her reindeer games that she calls in, she strikes me as she's a professional. I mean, she strikes me as a woman who takes her job seriously. And I'm not just saying this because she's fashionably attired and undoubtedly wears very, very high heels.
And she's very pretty.
And I'm not, of course, these in no way do those factors play into what I'm saying. Now, she strikes me as a woman who can be really tough as nails, though, when she thinks that she's right about something. So, I mean, for the fact that she would...
I know. You just want to be a fly on the wall.
I do.
That would be a dream come true.
More than you possibly know. More than you could possibly even know at this point. So, in any event. All right. Let's see. We have this. Rick. Oh, I mentioned this to you before the show. Rick, I heard you talking about hypnotism. Like you, I have many friends and friends of friends who have been hypnotized. I myself have been told that I could not be hypnotized. Apparently, like the Jedi mind trick, it only works on the easily led. Is there... And then they actually...
Oh,
they
I
actually
think I know where this is going.
So is there anybody we know who might qualify?
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say, except...
You're not going to amount to jack squat!
Scotty, please summon him to the studio.
Beam us up, Scotty.
And of course he's...
End of message.
He's outside. Like, is he outside getting his computer or something? All right, okay.
Fine. Okay.
Okay, well, no. Well, this is... No, but see, this is the best time to talk about it. Well, he's not here.
That's true.
So...
Yeah, he would be perfect.
See, and I had somebody mention that, like, I forget why we were even talking about this. Oh, because it was National Hypnotism Week last week. And so somebody was talking about National Hypnotism Week, and we were talking about, I got to talk about this quickly. But, and by the way, I will we'll tell you that the number is 503-733-2970, if you have some knowledge on this. Because you and I have probably both been told that same thing, that we couldn't be hypnotized.
I just never have the desire to be hypnotized. I don't want to be...
Well, no, because it's...
Because if it does work, I don't want to be made to...
Because you don't want a videotape, like, of you going, ka-ka!
Yeah.
Like doing...
That just
doing
seems like trouble.
Dance in the living room. Well, because you don't want to be that guy. Like, you don't want to be that guy that's on the demo tape that the hypnotist sends out to radio stations trying to get people to book him. You know what I mean? Where you're there, you know, like, you are at home in your own bedroom. You decide to give yourself a pelvic exam or whatever hideous thing he's having you do. See, but the thing is, when I was
told, you don't know where they're going to go with it.
That's
you don't know
thing.
How. Yeah. How sorted they're going to be.
And when I was in, when was it that I saw the, I must have been like 11th, 12th grade. They had some hypnotists come, and I don't think you could get away with this now. But they had this guy, his name was, and it sounds really fat. He sounds like a porn star in retrospect now that I talk about this, but his name was Dr. Wand. And Dr. Wand totally sounds like a guy that's giving you like some sort of off-the-record internal exam out behind like a tool shed somewhere. But Dr. Wand was this hypnotist that came to the school and hypnotized, blah, 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 a bunch of people. And whenever they would say to me, because this has been said to me several times, I had a shrink say this to me at one point because I was, you know, I was at one of my shrinks because I'm all crazy and whatnot. And I was doing the whole, the office space thing about, like, could you just, you know, just hypnotize me and just make me really dumb? Like, I went through this whole phase where I was just convinced, as I am now, it's just the only thing that's changed is I realized that it can't be done. I went through this whole thing where I was just desperate to be really stupid because I figured that that was the key to happiness. I figured, like, if a shrink could just make me really dumb, that I would have no more problems. Because, man, did you ever meet dumb people? They're as happy as clams, man. You never meet a happier person than somebody who's just as thick as two short planks. There really is, like, an absolutely inverse relationship.
Well, you'd have to have, like, six kids live in the burbs.
Yeah, but I wouldn't... Who are you referring to? But I wouldn't care. That's the thing. I would be completely fine with
it. It's true. Like, looking at Scotty J's twinkling happy eyes every day, he is completely elated all the time.
He really is. No, he's never... Even when he gets locked out of his car, even when he's had to pay $175 to take a cab back to Beaverton, it doesn't matter. That guy just skips around with a spring in his step and a dip in his hip. Anyway, so... But I'd gone to the shrink, and I was in this whole thing of, you know, which I guess... Even were it possible, would not really, strictly speaking, be a professional use of her skills. And I was at the screen, I'm like, so if you could just hypnotize me and just really make me stupid. I mean, I'll just kind of pay whatever it takes. Just bill me whatever you think you need to for that. I'm fine. I'll pay it. I'll put it on my gold card right now. And I got the same rap, which is that, well, you know, you probably can't be hypnotized. And whenever they say that, I always just assume that that's a scam. I always assume that that's, like, their default because it doesn't really work. Like, I'm one of those guys...
Well, because you're so aggressive in nature and you're sitting there telling them to hypnotize you to be stupid.
Do it! Do it now!
Maybe they could do it, but, you know, the chances are it wouldn't work on you.
See, hypnotism to me is sort of like a mental Ouija board. It's one of those things that much as it might be fascinating and interesting to believe in it, I just have never seen it done when I wasn't in the back of my head thinking that it was a scam. That's my deal. I have never seen anybody, you know, and Clyde and I have gone around and about this, but I have never seen Clyde have any of his Ouija board sessions where I wasn't, and this is not a knock on him, but just wasn't in the back of my head going, this is just a bunch of crap. Same thing with hypnotism. Every time I've seen it done to somebody, you always just assume, it's like when you see somebody pulled out of the audience for a magic trick, you always assume that they're in on it somehow. So that's my thing. So it's like the old faith healer trick where the faith healers would get somebody up on stage and they're like some guy in a wheelchair. They'd be like, I will make you walk. And the deal was whenever the faith healer couldn't cure you or at least temporarily make you look like you've been cured, this happened to my, it's a true story, this happened to my father-in-law who had polio when he was a kid. And his parents dragged him because they were nutcase Christians, dragged this polio kid to a bunch of faith healers, like at the big circus tents where they like bring you up on stage and they lay your hands. And the deal was he's like on, you know, whatever the crutches, those brace crutch things. And the faith healer comes down and he's like, John, I'm going to lay my hands upon you. And then, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but I mean, they actually did this. And this is in whatever, 19, like 50 something.
Like Steve Martin and Leap of
totally,
Faith.
Totally, exactly like that. And they laid their hands on him. They're like, John, when I take my hands, the name of the ghost will inside, and you will walk. And it's just so sad. It's exactly what
they
you figure.
They just push him over.
Totally. No, they totally. They lay the hands on the forehead. In the name of Jesus, be healed. And then he would just fall on his ass. I mean, which you can laugh about it now because
no, that was a sympathy laugh. That's terrible.
Because it's not me. And, but they always, always, always would give him that same response, exactly the thing in Leap of Faith that they go, John, your faith is not strong enough. Totally. Always. It was always at his faith, and it's like, but he never learned. His parents never learned. 8, 9, 10 different times they'd take him up on stage. Maybe I'll be healed this time. Bam, fall on his ass. Faith isn't strong enough. So whenever I see someone told that they can't be hypnotized, or whenever they tell it to me, I always assume that that's just sort of like a passive way to cover the fact that it's a scam. But Scotty, God love him. Scotty, God love him, really, really does seem like perhaps the ideal candidate for that. So we don't have time to do it now because we got to do the news hour. But I don't know, maybe later on today, because we'd have to find one. I don't know, we'd have to find one, we'd have to figure out more about it, and we'd have to talk to Scotty about it. So we will put a pin in that, but be thinking about that. Don't call about it now, but be thinking about that.
If any of you know any hypnotists.
Yeah, and maybe. And when Scotty gets back in, maybe we'll do a couple calls on that. And then we got Tim Riley, Clyde Lewis speaking. Clyde, he'll be coming up at the bottom of the hour at 12:30. Jim Roop at 1 o'clock later on. Peter Carlin from the... Oh, look, Scotty's back. Hello, Scotty. In no way were we talking about you while you were gone. Let me just real quickly. Just while we're...
Scotty J, this is David Cassidy. I don't know what else to say except...
You're not going to amount to death!
Hello, Scotty J.
Hi, Scotty.
How are you, sir?
Good morning.
You sound happy today.
I'm really happy now.
You seem happy most of the time.
I got in my car, and yeah. I can actually...
Would you say you have a happy life?
Yes, unfortunately.
Would you say that most of the time you're generally pretty happy?
I'd say, yeah. Pretty much out of 80%. There's times when I'm grumpy, like when I get up in the morning, I'm not real coherent. Obviously, I lock my keys in the car, that kind of thing.
But even then, though, you have a sparkle in your eye. Not much gets you down.
Typically not, no. Is this going somewhere?
No, not really. That's what I wanted to check on. Thank you.
Okay,
all right, great.
Thank
Thanks
you.
So much. I appreciate that. All right. It's 503-733-2970. We'll take a break. Underneath that neon light. We'll come back with more. Tim Riley at the Ministry of Truth around the corner. Don't go anywhere, kids. Here's the Dry County Crooks. I give that ring, hoping she'd be